For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Next, on the OHIO podcast, as much as we don't want to do it, we need to talk about what happened in the horseshoe on Saturday, and we answer all of your questions. And boy, did you have questions. And that all starts right now.
It's so easy to be average. You know it as well as I know it. It takes a little something to be special, Don. It takes a little something special to be a great player. We don't have enough great players. To hell with that! We don't want to coach average. I don't want to be around you. Why be around average?
Proud of our young people in the classroom, in the community, and most especially in 310 days in Ann Arbor, Michigan, on the football field.
Three things. Number one, the team that hits the hardest and the longest, the team that starts the fastest, and the team is too damn smart to make mistakes.
If you take it to them, if you don't make mistakes, and you keep taking it to them, hell, there's no question who wins.
It's time for the best Buckeye podcast. By fans, for the fans, where they hate that team up north as much as you do. It's time for the OHIO podcast. OHIO!
Welcome back to the OHIO podcast, everybody. I am Buckeye Boggs, and for the first time this season, we are not recording from a victorious North Central Ohio. We are recording from, can I say, a somber North Central Ohio, where I am joined by Chris and Aaron. Chris, are you okay?
No.
One word.
Absolutely not. I'm disgusted. I want to vomit just thinking about it.
You know, speaking of vomit, let me start off by saying, you know, it could always be worse. At the game yesterday, the woman sitting behind me had a little bit too much drinky. She threw up on my seat.
Yeah, well, you know, if I had to sit there and watch that in the stadium, I probably would have vomited too.
A little foreshadowing.
Yes, and those beautiful baritone voices you hear coming down from Texas. Aaron Brown, how's it going, buddy?
Yeah. there's so much to talk about on this show. You know, it's hard because, you know, we talk about people that are real negative online, and sometimes our show can come off that way when we're criticizing. But right. That's kind of part of what we do is criticize. So it's we're not trying to be negative. I need the listeners to understand that it's legit just what we see. You know, it's not just the immediate knee jerk reaction. Oh, he lost to that team up north twice. Fire him. You know, even though that little bit of our poll question there, but you know, we just can't go too deep into it. Let's hold our emotions.
Like I said, it could always be worse. There was a guy in New Jersey who placed a three-quarter of $1 million bet on Ohio State covering the line. And that was to only win a quarter of $1 million. So he bet three-quarter to win a quarter, and obviously he lost. But, you know, hopefully you're not that guy, because there's a lot of people who did probably win their bets yesterday. And on that note, Ohio – DraftKings Sportsbook is coming to the Buckeye State. It won't be long until you can bet on all your favorite sports from the comfort of your own home. To celebrate, all new customers will receive two $100 in free bets when you sign up today using code OhioPodcast. Plus, 5 lucky customers will win a $100,000 bet. That's right. DraftKings Sportsbook is giving you $200 in free bets just for signing up today. No deposit required. Soon, you'll be able to bet on money lines, spreads, props, and more with one of America's top-rated sportsbook apps, DraftKings Sportsbook. Plus, you'll be entered to win a $100,000 free bet when you sign up. Download the DraftKings Sportsbook app now and sign up with code Ohio Podcast to get $200 in free bets to use once mobile sports betting hits Ohio. Plus, 5 customers will win a $100,000 free bet only at DraftKings Sportsbook with code Ohio Podcast. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-589-9966. 21 plus. Physically present in Ohio. Eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at DraftKings.com/sportsbook. Subject to regulatory licensing requirements. 1 per customer. $200 issued as 8 $25 free bets. No purchase necessary for sweepstakes. Void where prohibited. Ends first day. DraftKings is allowed to operate in Ohio. See terms at DKNG.com/OH. All right. Who wants to go first?
Well, I'll go first, Eric.
Okay. Thank you for volunteering.
So, what I saw yesterday, and I'm going to leave more of the numbers that I usually throw out and my opinions on the adjustments to Aaron, who can speak more intelligibly on the adjustments that weren't made. I'm just going to say I was completely disgusted by what I saw yesterday. The play calling I thought was atrocious. I felt that Ryan Day did something yesterday, and we talked about it a little bit, you know, in our chat. I feel like yesterday Ryan Day broke the Ohio State Buckeyes. We were down 24-20 coming out of the half there. I think it was our first drive of the second half. The team actually showed signs of life. They got pinned back in a 1st and 35. CJ got him up to a 4th and 5 in Michigan territory. And despite CJ's pleas and the pleas of the offense to stay on the field, because they had rhythm going at this point, they had something working for them. Ryan Day pulls them off the field. Any other time, Ryan Day goes for this 4th and 5. And what he did was he completely lost his offense at that point. I think they lost confidence in him as a coach. I think they lost confidence in him as a play caller. And guys, he did this in front of a slew of new recruits. He may not have only broke this incarnation of the Buckeyes. He may have broken some of the future. He showed no faith in his quarterback, his Heisman candidate quarterback. He showed zero faith. And I saw a team after that happened that just gave up. Yes, Michigan was being more physical, but Ohio State still had fire at that point. After that, they gave up. And it just took me back. I've got nothing more that I can really add to that.
So I am going to add to that because I, you know, this was my first Michigan game ever as a fan in person. And the moment you speak of Chris absolutely is, you're 100% right. It was that at that moment when he pulled the offense off the field, I know you probably couldn't have heard or felt this through the TV screen. It was like all the air went out of the horseshoe. The fans at that moment stopped believing. It's done. It was like, here we go again. It was surreal when that happened. And it was, why are you giving this game away type of feeling, which was just really odd. And after that moment, Chris, the offense was never the same again. I think they completed 1/3 down after that, the rest of the game. Offense, they did. The offense was broken. I think you worded that exactly right. But it wasn't just the offense that was broken. The defense became broken. We had led the time of possession up to that point. We had doubled the time of possession on them. and we were dominating the line of scrimmage. And from that moment on, it was like the defense was broken too. They were gassed. They were exhausted. I know, Aaron, you're going to have, there's going to be lots of questions in our second part of the show that's going to be directed to you and for you about the defense and the scheme that wasn't, I guess, taken advantage of there. But it was both sides of the ball, Chris. The win was absolutely taken out of the sails of the team and the fan base. And I'm not going to put all the blame on Ryan Day in that decision because, you know, there's a 60 minutes for the entire game. But that decision was probably the worst decision he has ever made as a head coach up to this point. And I hope he learns from that. I really do. But, yeah, that hurt. I still feel that. And that's that, you know, we all these years later talk about certain things like, you know, the decision that Gene Smith made about the 2011 team and that ended up affecting our chances of winning a national championship in 2012. A lot of people, us included to a degree, have not forgiven Gene Smith for that. I hope that this doesn't become a defining moment for Ryan Day in his career, but this will be the moment that we might look back on in a year or two down the road and say this was the moment that he made a very, very bad decision as a head coach when it came to X's and O's on the field as a head coach. So I agree with you. Those are my two cents. It was a rough day yesterday for all of us, but I'll say this. If you haven't already, go to our Facebook page or our social media pages and read my article about perspective. I think that'll help you kind of put things back into perspective on where we are currently as a fan base moving forward. But, you know, unfortunately, we are going to have to talk about this game because that's what this show's about, is the game that took place yesterday. Aaron, your two cents.
Yeah, it was rough, you know, and just. It may feel like this was a defining moment for Ryan Day, but it's not the end of the world. You know, they're going to practice again this week. And Eric, I hope you're right. I hope that he does learn from this, because to me, and it's not just Coach Day, it's Jim Knowles as well. Okay. And anybody that's a defensive analyst that assists with the team, because Jim Harbaugh played this so smart. Okay, everybody and their sister knows Michigan runs the ball. Like, that's what they do. They run the ball and they throw short 15 yard or less passes. You know, that's, everybody knows that. They've done it for 11 games up until yesterday. And they knew that Blake Corum had an injury, and Donovan Edwards still recovering from a broken hand. So, you know, it's funny because how do these people, and I mean the analysts and the coaching staff, not recognize that they're, you know, considering their situation, that Michigan's going to have to change up their game plan a little bit? Running back room is banged up. So obviously they're not going to go to that. And the fact that Jim Knowles didn't recognize this, is it just kind of blows my mind. Like, a cover zero for most of the game? What are you doing? You know, I mean, I get it starting the game, but like, why wouldn't you do a cover one or a cover three? They're both, all three of those are designed to stop the running game. But there's also, you know, with cover one, you have a safety in the back. And that would have prevented some of what we saw. Lathan Ransom had the worst game of his career.
Yes, this is true.
He looked like Bryson Shaw. He looked worse than Bryson Shaw.
He was lost, man. I don't know what was going on there. He played so well this year up until this game.
He did. He looked worse than Bryson Shaw, and you guys know how I feel about that fella. So, but I don't understand why they didn't recognize the fact that Michigan wouldn't be doing their normal stuff, you know, or at least have a backup plan, make an adjustment, something. Now, you get burnt three times on deep passes that you shouldn't have been burnt on at all. And it just, one was a missed tackle. I'll give him that. Okay. I forget if that was Denzel Burke or that was Cam.
It was okay. Cam Brown.
Okay. And you know, he's another one that's had a great year, you know, and he played pretty well yesterday, but you miss tackles sometimes. It just happens. unfortunately, that was one of them. But some of those other deals, you know, the safety's got one job, and you just keep everything in front of you. But if the coaching staff doesn't have the safety out there, he can't keep anything in front of him because he's playing man on someone else, you know. And then if he's lost, well, you saw what happens. The offense, you know, you guys already said everything that came to my mind. You know, I think that Coach Day kind of shot the team in the foot by not showing confidence or aggression. And that kind of thing can permeate throughout the locker room, you know, and I think that maybe led to the collapse of the defense later on. It was a mess of a game. It was bad play calling. It kind of reminded me of the Penn State game, how we kept doing those ridiculous wide receiver screens that didn't work one single time. They just kept doing that little soft side pitch. They just kept going to it. And I'm like, why? How many times does Ryan Day have to run the same play that doesn't work before he's like, oh, this doesn't work? I don't understand. I don't get it. I don't make enough money to work with those guys and understand their thought process. But I've played this game and watched this game for enough time that if something's not working, you have to abandon it and try something else. So I don't know. I'm not saying I can do better, but I know I can. I would not do that. That's pretty much all I have to say about the game right now.
All right, report card. We're just going to cruise right along so we can get to all your questions. All right, offensive. Let's start with the offense, guys. We had 349 passing yards. When you hear these stats, man, you're going to – I don't know how we only scored 23 points. 349 passing yards, 143 rushing yards, 492 yards of offense, 6.4 yards per play, 23 first downs. We were really good on third down until the second half. Only 5 of 16 overall to finish the game. 0 for 1 on fourth down. Time of possession, we actually won it. 31 minutes and 46 seconds, and we did have two bad turnovers. I gave the offense a D as the best. I mean, and that's me trying to be very, very positive. I gave them a D. Chris?
Yeah, I'll tell you what. I'm going with a D as well, Eric, and I put this 90% of this on the play calling, because like you said, you threw some of the numbers out there and the guys didn't do too bad statistically, but just situationally and the play calling was just awful.
All right.
Yeah.
Go for it, Aaron.
Yeah. I'll agree with you guys. It was, but I don't place as much that on the players. It's like Chris said, I think that it was situational play calling was just terrible. This was a definite situation where the coaches got out coached and it showed.
So, yeah, I mean, again, that first half, guys, we had them right where we wanted them, two plays. We had only given up two plays. We still had the lead. But from the other side of it, if I'm a fan of the other team, I'm thinking, man, we played as bad as we played, and we're only down by three at halftime? Cool.
Eric, does it kind of remind you, I think it was the 96 game? We were up 9-0 at the half, and you just kind of knew. Because we couldn't do anything but kick field goals, you just kind of knew something bad was going to happen.
Yeah,
I think that's kind of what the way we felt it going into halftime.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. Flipping to the other side of the ball, we gave up 278 yards passing, 252 yards rushing. And I'm telling you guys, that out of that 252 rushing, about 230 of that came in the second half. And then, of course, you know, the big passes, just – daggers, man, for 530 yards. Listen to this stat, guys. 8.8 yards per play. We gave up 16 first downs. They were 7 of 16 on third down. Time of possession was 28-14, and we created zero turnovers. So those were the defensive stats. I gave them an F, Aaron.
Yeah, that is an F. That is an absolute F performance. Coaching staff, it's like they didn't prepare. They prepared incorrectly, I should say. They prepared just not for the right things, and they had no backup plan. That was pretty obvious. F.
Chris?
Yeah, I don't think you can go anywhere but an F with this. I mean, and again, a lot of it was, as Aaron said, schematic.
All right, there's your report card, guys. D's and F's, man. That's not going to get you a passing grade. And this is the one that you're graded by. As Ryan Day said in his post conference, that's life at Ohio State. There you go, pal. There's your report card for life at Ohio State. All right, let's go ahead and talk about Buckeye Lease. This was really hard to do. I'm not going to lie, guys. I struggled at this. Chris, you're usually the one that I lean on when it comes to stats and finding the people who you think deserve Buckeye Lease. I'm interested to hear what you're going to do here. So I'm going to let you go first for the offensive player of the game who earned your Buckeye Leaf.
Yeah, I'll tell you, I would have loved to have gone with Emeka Egbuka, but he did have a couple of drops in there that I think kind of hurt him a little. So I went a little off the grid here, and I went with somebody who I thought had a great first half, and that was Chip Traianum. You know, he's not really played in a game-time situation at that running back position at Ohio State. I thought he came in and did a pretty admirable job. I mean, not big numbers, 14 carries, 83 yards, but I thought he ran hard. He looked tough. He looked physical, which is what we needed with Mayan off the field.
I did go with Egbuka, 9 catches, 125 yards, and a touchdown. I know he did have a couple drops. Even Marvin Harrison Jr. had a drop, guys.
Who had not dropped one all season.
I think it was the second pass he got dropped.
Yeah.
So I was like, that was another bad omen right there. Other than getting puked on, I was like, yeah, here we go. Aaron, who was your offensive player of the game?
I went with Chip Traianum as well. He surprised me. He played really well. I felt like I don't know why he didn't get the ball a little bit more than he did. But, yeah, I'm going Chip Traianum.
He's been dealing with an injury. I think this was really the first time he was healthy enough to go. So, you know, a lot of people asking why didn't Dallin Hayden play. Apparently, Dallin Hayden's got the fumbles in practice really bad.
Oof.
Yeah.
But you know what? We didn't see it in that game.
I know. But, you know, as a coach, man, Aaron will tell you this. You fumble it in practice, dude. That's
I know.
I mean, the only reason why he seriously played in the Maryland game was he was really the only option.
Yeah. Because who else do we have? You know,
Chip wasn't able to play. This is the first time he's been able to actually play. So, I to just answer your question, the question people, I know that's probably, I just probably answered one of the questions that someone had was where was Dallin? Apparently the coaching staff just doesn't have the trust in him. And yeah, that's why he only had 2 carries yesterday. So, but you're right, guys. Chip didn't play well. He 14 carries, 83 yards. That's what, 5.9 yards per carry. He was hitting the hole hard. He was leaning forward. You know, he was always getting the extra yard or two. So, I know this much: if we get all our running backs back next year and they're healthy, that's going to be one hell of a room.
Yeah. So,
if we got the line.
If nobody transfers.
Well, and yeah, no kidding. Defensive player of the game. I'll let you start with this one, Aaron.
Thanks, bud.
Sorry. Well, do you want me to go first? Because I have a guy.
The only person that I can really – I don't know, man, because everybody just had a bad day. But, like, the only one I felt like was consistent was, like, Zach Harrison.
Okay, that's my guy, dude. That's who I went with.
Yeah, he had a couple swatted passes at the line, you know, and 4 tackles, and he didn't get dominated or pushed around, you know. He didn't get any sacks either, but he did pressure a couple times, and I feel like he was the most consistent thing we had.
There was only 3 guys on that defense yesterday that showed any emotion, and he was consistently that one guy. The other one, it was JT Tumulau showed some emotion yesterday, but even in the fourth quarter, I saw him hanging his head some. And Tommy Eichenberg obviously shows emotion, but he's just not a verbally emotional person to begin with.
Yeah.
He is Tommy Two Thumbs.
Yeah. But Zach.
Like Tommy No Thumbs.
Yeah. Zach did not give up, man. That guy was trying to get the crowd into it up until the bitter end. It was his last game in the shoe. And yeah. I thought he tried. You know, I've been hard on Zach Harrison for never becoming the five-star that he was, you know, he was tagged with. But let's be honest, guys. A lot of these 5- and 4-star ratings are based on, you know, measurables and how fast are you in the cone drill and how high can you jump and what's your long jump, your broad jump, and how big is your wingspan and what's your 40 time. And, you know, those are all things you can measure. And don't get me wrong, a lot of those things are important, but that's not what makes a football player.
Well, can I point out too that Zach Harrison, he grew up in Columbus. He knows this rivalry, and yes. You know, a lot of these guys, they're not from Columbus. They're not from Ohio. They don't know. So he knows what this game is about. He knows what this whole week was about. They can talk about it. Ryan Day can talk about how he knows how important it is, but when the game comes, it's like he forgets. But you know, you said it, Zach Harrison from Columbus, Ohio, was the only one till the bitter end still fired up about this game. He was still ready to crack some heads. That's the difference, I feel like. We got to get some more Ohio kids in here.
You just hit on one of the things that we will be covering in the offseason, and I'm going to be preaching from the housetop. I'll come back to this. I'll come back. Remind me. We'll come back to this. If not in this show, Aaron, we're going to have an entire show on that very thing. Chris, your defensive player of the game.
Yeah, I went with Zach Harrison as well. I'll tell you guys, he may not have ever developed into that five-star we talked about, but you know what? I thought especially the last half dozen games, Harrison has been a beast out there. I think he's really improved himself to the point where he's going to get drafted next year.
Yep. Yeah, he's going to be I think he's a fourth rounder right now.
I was going to say, he's a late third or a fourth round draft pick.
I think he can squeeze into the third base again.
He does
based
have
on
the measurables, like you
got it. You got it. Yeah, based on his measurables. Yep, he'll be a combine warrior. There's no doubt. Oh boy, here we go. I'll go first here. The offensive play of the game. I'm going to go the C.J. Stroud to Marvin Harrison Jr. touchdown. That was beautiful. Here's the thing. That was an NFL play by two NFL players. When he threw that football, Marvin Harrison Jr. did not have a step on the defender. They were side by side. And when he let go of that thing, there was another gear in Marvin Harrison Jr. that is next level. And that was the prettiest offensive play, I thought. Chris?
Yeah, I went with the same one, Eric. And what you referred to, he threw him open.
Yes.
That's exactly what the terminology is for it. He threw him open. Yeah, I thought it was a great play.
Aaron? Same play. Yep, same play. You guys nailed it. Perfect.
Here's the one I absolutely have no idea what to do. So I have one, but I'm going to hear your guys first. Chris, your defensive player hit of the game.
You know, I've thought about this and thought about this. And the best, I think, performance by the defense in general came when Eichenberg and Steel Chambers busted through the line to stop that. I think it was, a third and one, fourth and one run. And actually tackled the guy in the backfield. That's the only thing I can think of.
Aaron?
Yeah, that was actually the one I had in mind as well. That was really, other than any of the swatted passes that Zach Harrison had, that was really about the only defensive play that they really made, if we're being honest, you know. So, yeah, I think that was a third or fourth and one, Chris? It was one of those.
It was a big play.
I know that.
It was a big play. I think it was a third and one because it forced him to punt.
Okay, yeah.
I went with the JT Tumulau TFL. It was a big hit. It was you know what? Screw it. Because it wasn't as big as what you guys are talking about. We'll just make that cross the board. Tommy and Steele's TFL on third down. And that's sad that's what we're going with for right here. That's sad.
Well, we couldn't have gone with Gee Scott Jr.'s headbutt.
No, stupid, right? I didn't see it. I've not gone back and watched it, but Sarah told me it was completely uncalled for. It was totally uncalled for.
It was stupid, and it just shows the lack of discipline this team has.
Yep.
There you go. All right, we're gonna. I know that was quick, but hey, I mean, how much more can we really dissect that? Let's go to commercial. When we come back, we've got the stuff that all of you want to talk about. So hang tight.
The OHIO podcast is brought to you by Mastermind. Mastermind specializes in 360-degree, high-definition mobile video mapping, GIS integration, and traffic safety studies. Mastermind cares about traffic safety and keeping you safe on the roadway. Visit Mastermind at onlinemastermind.com.
All right, welcome back to the OHIO podcast. So this week's poll question, it's a tough one, but it had to be asked. It's something that everybody's talking about. People have been saying it all year long, seemingly, when they don't agree with his decision-making. And we made fun of people for it, but now it seems kind of a little bit more legitimized. So the poll question is, where do you currently stand with Ryan Day? First option is needs fired now. The second one is give him one more chance, but the seat is heating up. Or the third and final option, I love Ryan Day, and this poll question is stupid. I don't know which one of you guys made this. I got a feeling it was Eric, but that was that's a good one there.
thank you.
So before we get into what the results are, Eric, which one did you vote for and why?
I went for give him one more chance, but the seat is heating up. Let me give you a reason why. Number one, I like Ryan Day. I think Ryan Day is a very good human being. I think he is a fantastic recruiter. I think that he has a really good offensive mind, although that could be questioned yesterday. But for the most part, he has proven, I think, over time that he knows what he's doing as a play caller. I also think that he's a young coach. He's a young head football coach. And this is a part of that seasoning that people like Nick Saban and even Jim Harbaugh and Dabo Sweeney and the guy down there in Georgia, help me out. Kirby Smart. You see, all of these guys have had years of seasoning that Ryan Day is getting right now. And, you know, we at Ohio State, this was one of the worries I did have when they hired him, was he's a first-time head coach. And a lot of people questioned, why are we doing this now? Why are we giving this job to a first-time head coach? And if you guys remember, one of the reasons why Luke Fickell was never interviewed for the job was because he just didn't have enough head coaching experience. And that is why he went down to Cincinnati. You guys remember that?
Yep.
Urban Meyer said he needs some head coaching experience. And so – this is what happens sometimes when these guys, when they need to get, you know, Notre Dame is experiencing some of this right now with their head guy. He's learning on the job. And when you're learning on the job at one of the, you know, blue bloods, everything gets, you know, it's bigger. And so even the losses are bigger. And that's what we're experiencing. But at the same time, I say all that to say this. He himself said it when he was hired at his press conference. I know my job is to win that game and then win every game after that game. He said it himself. He knew it. And so I don't think Ryan Day is surprised that the heat that's coming down from this fan base right now, which means I think he understands it's do or die next year. 2 years ago at Big Ten Media Days, the booger picker neater said it himself. We either win or we die trying. Well, it's Ryan Day's turn to say we either win or we die trying. It's him that's on the hot seat now. Give him one more chance, but the seat is heating up.
All right. And Chris, which one did you go with?
I'll tell you. I went with get rid of him now.
Really?
Yes. I lived through the Cooper years. And I'm feeling a lot of that coming back. And I looked at it, guys. I didn't judge this lightly. I didn't go on here until later in the day to actually make my choice. And this is my thought process. I'll give him one more chance. But the only way that happens is if Ohio State backdoors their way into the playoff and he wins it. That's his second chance, in my opinion. He has already lost more games than the last three Ohio State, or lost as many games as the last three Ohio State head coaches combined to that team up north. When you look at his record against quality opponents, and I'm not talking mid-ranked Big Ten, just Big Ten teams. I'm talking about the top-tier Michigan teams, the Alabamas, the Clemson. And yes, I know he's got a win against Clemson, and it was a good win against Oregon. He has been out-coached, and we have looked really bad in the majority of those five losses that he's had. And it just seems to me that if he isn't in a situation where he has the more talented team, where the talent wins out, he can't coach his team up. He's in over his head. I think the man is a great offensive coordinator. Eric, I agree with you. I think he is a wonderful human being. But I'm not looking at it from that standpoint. I'm looking at it from, does he have that killer instinct and that mindset to be a head coach? And I don't think he does. You know, Urban Meyer wasn't liked by everybody, but you know what? He won. You go back, Saban. People despise Saban, but he wins. Being a good person is not a prerequisite to be a good head coach. And the fact is, I do not feel that he is the answer at this point. I think what he did yesterday, like I said, it demoralized and it broke this Ohio State team. And I believe it is going to negatively affect recruits that were at the game. I think it's going to negatively affect our roster in relation to the transfer portal. And I don't personally want to take a step back to the Cooper years again. Now, that being said, obviously there were some events this evening which might have tempered my original decision a little bit, but you know, overall, I don't think so. I think the only way that he can rectify this situation and deserves another shot is if he can backdoor his way into the playoff with a USC loss and win the thing. And in the process of doing that, he has to take down Michigan. Cut and dry, that simple.
I mean, yeah, I can't really dispute any of that, and nor will I try. My vote, I said give him one more chance, but the seat is heating up. And Chris, you know, I was young, but I remember the 90s vividly because my whole life revolved around Ohio State football, little league football that I was in school. That was it, and my buddies, you know. So I remember that, and you know, the comparisons between the two coaches is pretty uncanny because John Cooper, you know, I don't know what his upbringing was, if he was an excellent OC or whatever. I just know that he came from Arizona State where he had won a Rose Bowl, I think, in 87 or 88. So Ohio State hired him. Excellent recruiter. Lots of talent. We had the talent to win several national titles, but it adds just like we do now. But come the Michigan game, come the bowl games, Rose Bowl, you name it, what happened? We lost. Choke. Yeah, we choked.
Exactly. And Aaron, you look at it. Let's realistically look at that Rose Bowl last year. Do we think that we come back and win that game if Utah's quarterback does not go down?
I honestly can't say yes or no. I know where you're coming from. And it sure doesn't seem like we would have, because he went out at a pivotal moment and yes, their backup just didn't have it. So it's very hard to say. I would like to say that we would have won either way, but I agree with you. I can't definitively go back, look at that game and be like, yes, if Cam Rising had stayed in the game, we would have won. I can't say that 100%. So anywho, the results here, 17% said needs fired now. 64% said give him one more chance. And 19% said, I love Ryan Day. And Eric, your poll is stupid.
This was our most voted in poll we've ever had, by the way.
Well, that tells you how passionate the fan base is. Yeah, you know,
I'm looking up the totals. I'm looking up the totals right now. And help me do some math. 139 plus 28. What is that?
Yes.
167. 167 people in this poll since this morning.
Well, you know, there's a comment on here that I think is kind
read
of
it. Read
interesting.
It.
Yeah. It's from Dolly Scott, and her comment, or his, I don't know. I don't want to assume genders here. Give him one more chance, but only if he hires an OC and gives up play calling. What do you guys think about that? Is that the right move? That's tough.
Here's the thing. He's got an OC.
We have an OC.
Yeah, but Wilson. Who's calling the plays?
Ryan Day's the main play caller, yes.
Okay. And I think that's
that's the problem.
And I think that's what this person's getting at. So I don't know. I just thought that was an interesting comment. Maybe they split more. But then again, you can't split more because it has to be a certain way. Like, that's how you prepare for these games. But like, you know, it's funny because Ryan Day went from making incredible adjustments. Like, that's something that I sung the praises of his since he got hired, is his ability to make these adjustments. And like, it seems like this year the adjustments have just been crap, if any were made at all. Have you guys noticed that?
Has a little bit of bearing on that.
Sure.
It's people like us. It's people who are telling him how weak his team was, how non-tough his team was, how they didn't run the ball well. I think that members of the media and the fan base got into his head a little bit.
Well, that wouldn't affect your adjusting. I mean, it would
affect your play calling, and you know, it could affect your adjustments. He's trying to prove something. He's so stubborn. He's trying to prove something.
Well, that's just not smart.
I didn't say it was smart. I said, yeah. That's what's part of what's happening.
Guys, that's what that seasoning I'm talking about. He's experiencing. We're watching in real time a young head football coach who's figuring this thing out for the first time. Like, this is the first time he's really, really had to deal with big time adversity now. Okay, Clemson, losing to Clemson in the playoff was adversity, but you know, what did he do? He came back and beat Clemson the next time. Losing to Alabama, guys, I straight up, let's be dead honest here. I don't care if that was Urban Meyer at the helm. I don't care if it was Nick Saban coaching against himself. Alabama was going to crush us that game. We just didn't have the horses on defense to hang with them, period. Okay? But this is the first time he has been outcoached by a team that has lesser talent than him. Two times in a row. This is called adversity. This is the first time real adversity in his coaching career. And he doesn't know how to outcoach someone who's got his number right now. This is the first time.
Hey, Eric, he said it himself, though. 12-1 in a Rose Bowl victory is not good enough.
I know.
So he knows this, yet we're not doing anything to change it. I mean, this guy is the highest paid state employee in the state of Ohio. And he, by his own standards, is failing.
But he'll gladly keep taking the paycheck. You think he's going to walk away? you see what
well,
I mean?
That's okay. Let's slow the train down. He might be the highest paid employee in the state of Ohio, but he's also one of the most giving people I've head coaches I know of right now.
Again, John Cooper was a hell of a nice guy too, Eric.
But yes, you know he was. I've met John Cooper multiple times.
Hell of a nice guy. Super human being.
Mm-hmm.
But if you can't win the big one, you're not head coaching material.
I agree. Yes. I absolutely agree. But I am not ready to pull the rug out from under him yet.
Me either. I just want somebody that's willing to kick kickers to coach our team.
You called him dumpster juice earlier in this year.
As a person, not as a coach.
Yeah.
That's what this whole conversation
is. He's an awful son of a bitch as a person, but he is a great coach.
Dude, abuse all the kickers you want, but come back and win us a championship.
Did you see the picture someone posted of him with those two girls where he looks drunk and someone says, bring them back? And I said, are those the offensive and defensive coordinators?
Couldn't do any worse than what we saw yesterday.
Oh, they're certainly not the kickers.
All right, let's jump into these questions, guys, because this might take a while. Holy smokes. I'm looking down through the list. There is no way we're going to get to everybody's questions. And some of you actually wrote multiple questions in your questions. So bear with us. We have people, guys, who sent us in suggested questions for the very first time. And let me say this. If you're one of those people who wrote in a question, for the first time and you're listening to this, we appreciate that so much. If we don't happen to get to your question, I apologize. Please forgive us, but we're trying to keep this thing to about around an hour, and there are probably 3 hours worth of questions here. So we are just going to do our very best to get to it, okay? Let's start at the top and work our way down, or do you want to start at the bottom and work our way up to the top? What do you guys want to do here? Let's start at the bottom. That sounds like the way to do it, right? Rodney Pinnock. He says, have you guys has Ryan Day ever considered getting an offensive coordinator to call plays? All right. So this may be more of a statement than a question, but I'm going to form it in the form of a question. It's kind of where we were talking about. All right. I'll let you go with that one first, Chris. Do you think Ryan Day needs to look himself in the mirror and say, maybe I need to get a full-time OC who calls plays so that I can manage this team better, more so? I mean, the whole point of getting Jim Knowles was Jim Knowles was the defensive head coach, and Ryan Day is the offensive head coach. That's why they're paying Jim Knowles $2 million. Should we keep what we're doing, or should Ryan Day seriously consider stepping away from the play calling?
I think it has to change, Eric. I think it has to change. I think, as I said, we saw yesterday, I think the team has lost confidence in him as a play caller, not just the fans. I think that he needs to step away, focus on managing this team as a whole. As I said, one of the things that we've noticed about Ryan Day's teams since his taking the reins is the fact that they are undisciplined. And, you know, that's something that he can address if he has more time to focus on being a head coach rather than a quarterback coach or a, you know, offensive coordinator. He needs to take control of this team, and he needs to regain their confidence. And I think the way to do that is to actually become a head coach and get an offensive coordinator that calls the plays for him.
Okay. Sammy Poston, I'm heartbroken we lost with a way more talented team. You and me both, buddy. 2 years in a row. I'm probably crazy to say this, but I think that after two straight blowout losses with so much better talent, Ryan Day should be fired. What are your all thoughts? Well, we kind of answered that. Chris says yes. Aaron and I say not yet. So there you go, Sammy, but thanks for the question. Stan Williams, this one's for you, Aaron, and I'm going to form this into more of a coach question for you. Okay. Is Ryan Day really that stubborn that he won't listen to the quarterback and see that they were moving the ball after first and 35? We talked about that play. We all said that that was kind of the moment where Ryan Day lost. Hindsight's 20/20. But in that moment, does Ryan Day need to listen to the quarterback at that moment? Or should the head coach said, no, I'm the head coach and this is what we're doing here? Your thoughts?
That's tough, man. That's a really tough question. You know, it's more of a failure on Ryan Day's part because as the head coach, he has to notice the attention to detail here. And the fact is that the detail he missed was that they had a rhythm going. They got hurt by some penalties. You know, I think that was the drive where G. Scott headbutted whoever. And there was a holding. So it was like first and 30 or first and 35. So the fact that they even got to fourth down and four, that's pretty tremendous. And it was pretty clear to me, like, unless he decided to call one of those stupid sweep plays that didn't work all day that he ran 8 or 9 times, they were probably going to pick up that first down. you know? And then the other thing too is, okay, back up. I'm getting too deep into this. Yeah, to answer the question, Aaron. Answer the question. Yes, he should have listened to his quarterback, but by the same token, he should have noticed that they developed a rhythm on that drive despite the bullcrap that took place.
Yes. Ryan always talks, we are a rhythm offense. You had the rhythm there. You had the rhythm, and you lost the jive there, Jive Turkey. I mean, you had the rhythm. Good question. Thanks for submitting that question. Good answer, Aaron. Chris, this was from Matt Meller, I believe, or Miller, M-E-L-E-R. Sorry if I mispronounced your last name, Matt. Has CJ been a waste of talent for the last 2 years, especially in big games? Whew. What is CJ's legacy, Chris? I take it that that silence is you thinking about this?
No, let me tell you. I guess if you ask if he's been a waste of talent, yeah, I think he has. How many national titles do we have?
Zero.
How many Big Ten titles do we have?
Zero.
He is, I believe, the best passing quarterback we've had, aside from maybe the one superb year that Dwayne Haskins had.
There you go. I was going to disagree with you. I think Dwayne Haskins had the single greatest passing year ever in Ohio State history.
But I feel that Stroud had all the tools to exceed what Haskins did. And the way that, be it whether it was play calling this year, whether it's just been the fact that, you know, I don't know. I wish I could justify a reason for why things have gone the way they have the last 2 years. But yeah, he's absolutely been a waste of talent. This is a guy, Eric, who, in my opinion, is probably the first quarterback off the board this spring. I think that, you know, people will talk Bryce Young. People may talk the kid at TCU.
He's good too, man.
He is. He's good. But you know what? He plays in a league where there's no defense.
Well, okay. You know, every one of these guys, I watched the quarterback for USC really close last night. By the way, he just won the Heisman last night easily. You know what all those quarterbacks that you just mentioned have that CJ doesn't? They scramble and they're not afraid to run the football.
That's crazy.
Aaron has been preaching this for 2 years now.
That's wild.
It came to roost yesterday, didn't it?
Absolutely. How many times could he have taken off with it?
And then they were daring him to run it. Absolutely. They were saying, we'll give you 15 yards. We'll give it to you.
Yeah.
He wouldn't take it. He would not take it.
They knew he wouldn't. And the one time that he did try, he did some stupid little, I don't even know why the hell you'd do that, but he flipped it right to a Michigan defender for an interception. Dumbest thing I've seen.
All right. This is for both you guys. Real quick. This is from Nick Quint. Nick, he submitted about 5 questions here. I'm going to take this one. At this point, do you guys want to play in the CFP or would you rather turn the page and go play in the Rose Bowl?
I want the CFP, Eric. I absolutely want the CFP because, as I said, that, in my opinion, is Ryan Day's chance to right the ship. If he gets in there and he fails in the CFP, bye. Bye, Felicia. He has said himself, like I said, the Rose Bowl victory is not good enough. Don't let him go to the Rose Bowl. Send him to CFP. If he's going to beat the big boys, he's going to beat the big boys. And you know what? I will personally come on this show and apologize for what I have said. But you know what? I just don't think the guy's got it in him.
Aaron?
I want the CFP. I want to see if he's learned from this. That's what I want.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, if here's the dirty little secret, guys. If we're in the CFP, what if Jaxon Smith-Njigba comes back?
Well, Eric, that's the only way you're going to see Jaxon Smith-Njigba, CJ Stroud.
Yes. Yeah, that's why that's the dirty little secret.
Any of these other potential first or second round picks, they are not suiting up again for Ohio State unless we get into the CFP.
That's why I formulated the question as, do we turn the page? Because if we go to the Rose Bowl, it's on to next year's team. Those guys aren't going to play.
Yeah. It's bad to see Kyle McCord get some quality minutes in a game either.
That's what bowl games are now, guys. They are future games. What does your team look like next year? That's what these games are.
Thank you, NIL.
Right. That it was going to happen anyways, Aaron. I mean,
I know.
It is what it is. Yeah. Okay. For my buddy Scott Cameron, what does the future of Knowles look like? Is he given one more year? If they lose next year, do they fire Day and Jim Knowles, Chris?
Oh, I don't think there's any doubt. If Day survives this season, and you guys are right, he probably will. But yeah, I think anything short of a national title next year, and it's going to be tough to do.
Oh,
you don't have CJ Stroud.
Don't even, guys. I do a lot of future casting and looking at rosters. Ohio State is going to have to win next year on defense. Offensively, we are going to be very, very young, especially up front. We're going to have a new signal caller. We're going to have 3 to 4 new starting offensive linemen. We'll have a very experienced wide receiver room and running backs, but that doesn't matter if you ain't got a line and a quarterback.
No, absolutely not. But I'll tell you right now, anything short of if they let him stick around, anything short of a national championship and a top 5 defense, both in yards given up and in scoring defense, I think they both got to go.
Not to mention that team that just beat us by 22 points, something like that. They are returning almost their entire offense outside of their offensive line. And like I've been telling everybody, next year's Kevin Egan's years, guys. Penn State is loaded.
Those running backs they've got are just
tremendous. They are all sophomores and freshmen outside of just a handful of guys. I mean, they are going to be loaded the next 2 years.
And I like that kid from, what is it, Minner? Is that where the kid's at?
Yeah, the Ohio kid. All right, Mike McClintock. It's obvious the defense still isn't fixed. Aaron, this one's for you.
Okay.
What changes need to be made on defense?
Well, the only changes that need to be made is better preparation, because this is kind of a loaded question, because there's a lot that goes into that. So how did they not prepare, for the fact that Michigan had one injured running back in Blake Corum? That is their number one weapon right there. Okay, Donovan Edwards, as you know, is very capable, and he showed the world yesterday that he is. Okay, so yeah, you still have to prepare for that. But if you guys listen to our pregame show, I mentioned cover one and cover three. Okay, both of those coverages allow a deeper safety. Okay, Jim Knowles didn't really do that at all. And he didn't change any of his game plan. He planned for that game like Blake Corum was going to be playing, and he didn't. And why he didn't have a backup plan is what blows my mind. So I don't know if that's Jim Knowles' philosophy, if that's how he does things as well. They've used Blake Corum all year, and now he's probably going to play. Maybe not. Maybe he will. So we'll just put all of our eggs in one basket, but I've never seen anybody coach the way that they are, call a game on defense the way that it was called yesterday. And it was terrible. Like, that was worse on defense than it was on offense. And I don't know. I don't think anything needs fixed. I think maybe they need to revisit their philosophy on how they prepare for games.
Aaron, I'm going to ask you this one too. Also, Mike McClintock. Mike, great questions, by the way. You need to hang around on our social media and listen to our podcast and send us some more ideas. These are great questions. What's up with all the leg injuries this year? Is it time to reevaluate the strength and conditioning program, Aaron?
It's without knowing exactly what they do. I know that Coach Marotti is, you know, probably he's top three strength and conditioning coaches in all of probably football, period, but definitely in college football, big level football. So some of that goes into the turf. Okay. That synthetic turf, you
sucks.
Know, it's bad, you know,
it's bad for head injuries too, guys. That's why they're going to go back to natural grass eventually.
Yeah. It's really, really not friendly to the ligaments in your legs. I will tell you that. I played on it a lot when I played semi-pro, and it's not as good as what they advertise it to be. They say it's a fast track and it helps you grip better and all this other stuff, which, you know, it's kind of true, but when you're planting or you're spinning or anything, you are putting your meniscus and all your ligaments in a real bad situation. And so I think that's got a lot to do with it. When you consider that on natural grass, we didn't have these issues outside of, like, you know, somebody got hit and they're, you know, a real injury where their leg was compromised. Yeah.
Tackling.
Yeah. A contact injury. Yeah, I don't think that
most of these issues are non-contact issues.
Yes. Man. Yeah. It's not a strength and conditioning thing, in my opinion. It's littered. It is this synthetic turf. It is a problem.
Yeah. The NFL is making a move to go back to natural grass. And you know that that's going to come down to the college level. So, yeah, I, you know, it's funny. We get all of these new technologies and new things, and what do we always discover? A lot of times the old way was the better way. So yeah. I really think you're going to see natural grass come back into play in the next 10 years, guys. All right. Marshall Traeger, was something wrong with Hayden? We talked about that. We answered that already. No, he's got the fumbling issue in practice. It's documented now, and I think the coaches don't want to throw him under the bus, but that is why they just didn't play him unless they absolutely had to. Hopefully he can get that taken care of because he is a very good talent. All right. Let's see. Dolly Scott. Chris, kind of answered this already, but I'm going to give you a real quick solid here on this one. If we make the playoffs, what do you think our chances are? Can we bounce back from this game, Chris?
You know, I'd like to say yes. But again, Eric, right now, I feel like this team is broken. And I think if Ryan Day can find a way to earn the trust of his players back, then I think we have the talent to stay in there. We have the talent to compete with anybody in the country. I don't think that's in question. Do we have the discipline and the tenacity? And I'm going to steal one of Aaron's phrases here, the testicular fortitude to do it. That's another question.
You know what I question, Chris? I question the team's confidence moving forward.
Yeah. Well, like I said, they're broken right now. They are broken. And unless Ryan Day can find a way to get that confidence back, they don't stand a chance in the playoff.
But Go ahead.
But I also think, as I mentioned before, that is Ryan Day's chance at redemption.
All right, Aaron. Dolly Scott also asks, was the play calling too conservative?
I think at times it was. I don't think the whole game was conservative because, I mean, Marvin Harrison's touchdown was not conservative play calling at all. That was a great play that they made. And that was a call from, you know, whoever makes those calls, which I assume is Coach Day. I think at times, you know, like we discussed earlier, the fourth and four that Day pulled, you know, the offense off the field for, that was entirely too conservative, and he killed the momentum that his team was building. So to answer the question, yes and no. At times, I think it was poorly timed when he went conservative. I think that's probably the best way I can put that.
Aaron, right back at you with Robert Allen's question. By the way, Robert, hear ya. got your order for t-shirts, buddy. And man, Robert, he loaded us up with questions. I'm sorry, Robert, we're not going to be able to answer all these, but I'm going to pick a couple out of here that I think are very interesting here. Aaron, can we operate this offense without a rhythm? If not, why? That's a good question, man.
It is a good question. That is a great question. And the reason is, yes, you can. Okay, but it's going to look a lot more like what Michigan does. That's not a rhythm offense. So rhythm is based on the ability to pass, essentially. Okay, and that's why I say it's all built on the rhythm of the quarterback and the receivers. That's why it's called a rhythm offense. If they don't have that rhythm and most of your play call is passing, well, guess what? You're not going to be moving the ball too well. So if you take the rhythm out and you just run the ball, it just looks like what Michigan does. So that's the answer.
Robert, I'm going to answer this one, guys. Robert says, does CJ let the pressure get to him? He seems good, then he continues to be overconfident, moving with no purpose. The issue you see with CJ when it comes to pressure is that he has zero confidence running the football. If he felt the pressure and he didn't see an open receiver, what did Justin Fields do? He relied on his legs. Okay. CJ cannot rely on his legs. He has zero confidence on his legs. That's why when you see the pressure coming and he spins out of pressure, he looks like he's panicking, because he is, because he's trying to find someone open, or he's trying to figure out, do I want to go ahead and try to run this or throw this ball away? And when he does run, he looks like a duck out of water, man. He's uncomfortable doing it because it's not who he is. He can't do it. Good question, though. Does Ryan Day need to give up play calling? Yes, Robert, we've beat that one with a stick. Here's another good one, man. I don't know. Chris, how does Ohio State manage to underperform every year? Man, I don't know. Is that a fair question? I don't know.
I don't think it is.
I'll tell you, Eric, I think if you look at it, when they play a team that's got a pulse, they do have a tendency to play down to their opponent.
That's not true, though. Look at what we did against Clemson when we had in the playoff, man. We dominated them.
Okay. I agree with that in that one game. But let's just look at just this season alone. Maryland should not have been able to hang with us the way they did. Penn State, it should not have taken that effort from JTT.
But guys, Penn State's like that every year. I don't care. It was like that exactly. With Urban Meyer.
Why is it? When you've got so much better talent, why is it?
Because, first off, I think Penn State's a whole heck of a lot better than we thought they were. Chris, you and I thought they were 6-6.
I agree.
They are a lot better than that.
Kevin, they are better than that. Absolutely. You know, we were wrong about that. But, yeah, I think they do play down to their opponent, Eric. I really do. Notre Dame, we should have blown that Notre Dame team out of the water.
USC did.
Yeah. Yeah, they did.
All right, couple more.
Michigan, we should not have. First of all, we shouldn't have lost to Michigan this year. Yet alone been decimated the way we have been the last 2 years.
Yeah, we shouldn't have. I agree with you 100% on that. We were decimated today. We were embarrassed yesterday. Yeah, that was embarrassing.
And you know
that was emasculating. Like I said,
reasons why. But the fact is, I think it comes down to the fact that it begins with preparation, which I think we lack in preparation, and I think it comes down to, you know, just a good game plan. And I don't think we always have one. I think sometimes Ryan Day is confused when he's got to go up against teams that have athletes who are equal to or better than Ohio State.
All right. I'm going to only entertain this question because I want to hear what you two say. I think it's number one, I think it's a pipe dream. And number two, there's no way this would happen, but I got to hear your guys' reaction. I'll start with you first, Aaron. And when Aaron's done, Chris, jump in. If this is a big if, and I don't think it's going to happen, but let's just go down this path. if Ryan Day was no longer the coach as of tomorrow, would primetime, can you even see him? This is from Billy Langdon. Can you even see Deion Sanders on the sideline at Ohio State? I can't even see it, man.
No, no. He's, I mean, never say never, but like I'm 99% sure that is not happening.
I'll tell you, he set up a quote that goes completely in line with everything we've talked about this soft Ohio State team. Did you see the quote he came out with yesterday?
No.
No.
If your kid is going to cry about the way I'm coaching, I'm not the coach for him.
That should be every coach that says
if
that.
If he's going to cry about being pushed too hard, I am not the coach for him.
He says that, and then he goes on an Aflac commercial with his gold chains. I don't know, man.
You know what, though? He's a personality. You're going to get the personality with the guy.
True.
This I will say, though, I do not feel that he has proven himself enough as a head coach at the highest level to earn this job.
There's no way. He's not an Ohio guy. He doesn't understand the rivalry. He's not coached big-time college football.
They've got 10 minutes to rectify this situation. That's about what they've got unless they're going to ride or die with Day, at least for the next year. You got about 10 minutes to stop Luke Fickell from signing that contract.
I think it's signed, isn't it? I think he's done. I think it's a done deal.
They finalized it. They finalized it, but they haven't signed it.
Again, that's a whole nother discussion, guys. What Luke Fickell coming to the Big Ten, and it's not at Ohio State.
But you know what? It's another guy who brings toughness to another Big Ten team.
A tough Big Ten team too.
Yeah. And we are now trying to play SEC ball with a bunch of tough-ass Big Ten teams.
Brian Lee Oberst, we're going to finish with your questions, my man. All right, here we go. He says, I got lots of questions. Well, we're going to take a couple of them, my friend. Oh, we've already answered the firing Ryan Day stuff. Oh, boy, Aaron, this one's for you. We were out coached for a second year in a row. Do you think we gave up on defense or offense? I'm going to say we gave up on both, but yeah, I think we did, Aaron.
Yes. Yes, we definitely gave up on both. I mean, just, you know, when you're stuffing their run game for, you know, three quarters of the game, you know, and then,
you just let them go.
Yeah. Donovan Edwards, two times, like, dude had what'd you say earlier, 230 yards rushing in the second half. Like, that's
it was nasty. It was that for the game. Donovan Edwards ended up with 216. He had a 9.8 yard average on 22 carries. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, for the first 15 carries, he probably averaged 1.2 yards.
Yeah.
And then 75 yarder, and then another 80 yarder, and then
83, I think, was the other one.
Yeah. And then he gets in the post game news conference. Someone asks him about his touchdown, and he smiles and goes, "Which one?" Ugh.
Hey, he earned it. You know,
there's nothing we can say.
They gave it to him. But yeah, I think they did give up. And then, like, offensively, you know, like Eric said earlier, when they pulled him off the field for that. Fourth and four, when they, you know, and punted, I think that kind of zapped what they what the team wanted to do. So out coached and players kind of gave up, I think.
All right, Chris, do you think not having Jaxon Smith-Njigba in this game hurt us?
Well, sure, it's going to hurt you in any game. He's, I think, the most, when healthy, the most prolific receiver in the game, although I think that Marvin Harrison is right there with him at this point. Yeah, that's an ultimate third weapon. But you know what? I don't know how much it hurt us. We should have been prepared. We've been playing without him all season. I felt that, you know, I didn't really like a lot of our passing game to begin with. I don't think we tested them enough deep early on to make them defend the whole field. You know, we have Harrison Jr. We have Emeka Egbuka. We have Julian Fleming, who I thought played. He didn't have huge numbers, but I thought he played a good game yesterday. you know, I don't know what happened to Cade Stover, because that guy was dropping anything thrown in his direction yesterday. But we should have been able to overcome that. Not having Jaxon Smith-Njigba is nothing more than an excuse for why we didn't win. Just like they were prepping to have Blake Corum as their excuse. It's an excuse. You should be able to win without him.
Last question for both of you. What are the chances CJ comes back next year? Aaron? Zero?
That's an absolute zero. He's not returning.
Zero. Chris, what do you think?
Oh, it's an absolute zero, Eric. I mean, first of all, the guy's going to make millions. He's going to be, like I said, I think the top quarterback off the board. But on top of that, Ryan Day completely humiliated him out there, I think, on that play. It broke his spirit, and if I was in the position, I wouldn't come back to play for that again.
I'm not going to go zero. I'm going to go 5% chance.
Why? You might as well have just went zero.
Well, here's the 5%.
If they get in the CFP.
No. Here's what it is. He sits down, and he thinks about his legacy at Ohio State, and he says to himself, I can't live with myself knowing that I've never beaten that team up north, and I've never won a Big Ten championship as a starting quarterback, and I want to go down in history as one of the greatest quarterbacks in Ohio State history, and I'm going to come back, and I'm going to do it next year.
Yeah. Sorry,
it's not that the kid. It's not that the kid's not hurting for money, guys. NIL's giving him a pretty comfortable existence as a 20-year-old man. More comfortable than I'm living, I guarantee that. So I'm going to give it a 5% chance if he has that conversation with himself and he says, I can't live with myself doing this.
You know what eases that conversation? 5 years, $100 million.
I know that.
And the fact that I really do think that Ryan Day alienated him. I just look at the way it played after that critical down we, you know, spent all day talking about. I think he felt demoralized, humiliated, and just, you know, that Day had no faith in him at that point. If I was playing, I could not come back and play under those conditions.
All right, we made it through the majority of your questions, guys. Thank you so much for submitting those. We appreciate each and every single one of you doing so all season long. It's really, really helped us. It helps the show move along, gives us a lot of good topics to think about and talk about. And again, I'm going to come back and revisit this several times in the offseason and maybe pull your question out as a topic for us to discuss in the offseason, because there's a lot of good material there. So thank you so much. All right, what happened around the Big Ten yesterday, Chris?
Well, just when you thought things couldn't get any more depressing than talking about the Ohio State game, let's take a trip around the Big Ten. So, of course, on Thursday, Iowa found a way to blow their chance at returning to the Big Ten title game by losing to Nebraska, of all teams, 24-17. Just sad. We talked about what happened in Columbus yesterday. You know, obviously the Wolverines came out and won 45-23. Penn State looking good still, probably a top 10 team after this week. They won 35-16. Maryland is bowl eligible, of course, at 7-5, and they won 37-0 over the hapless Scarlet Knights of Rutgers. Illinois came out, had a big game against Northwestern, which seems to be something that everybody but Ohio State did this year. Illinois won 41-3. Minnesota finishes at 8-4. They won 23-16 over the soon-to-be Fighting Fickles. And Purdue stamped their ticket to Indianapolis yesterday, winning 30-16 over Indiana. Guys, it's been a sad year to have to discuss the Big Ten. It is a chapter I am more than happy to close at this point. Yes, we still have some bowl games coming up. Yes, at least one team from the Big Ten is going to be in the CFP. So we will have to talk a little bit more, but guys, I don't know about you, but I kind of wish we were doing this one on video, so that you could see me taking my notes and catching them on fire. just symbolic of what has happened this year in the Big Ten.
You know what would be very interesting, Chris, is in the offseason we ranked the Big Ten coaches. We got two new guys to rank that are both pretty doggone good now.
Don't let me rank right now because I'm still trying to cool off.
I know. And as far as ranking, I submitted this morning my Big Ten power rankings for the first time this season. Buckeyes aren't in there.
You know who you have to rank number one coach in the Big Ten right now, Eric.
I know. I can't do it. Sean.
The guy barely has brains to tie his own shoes, but he's managed to humiliate us on two occasions.
He was smarter. He was the smarter man yesterday. So, anywho, yeah, we have one more week of Big Ten power rankings that we will be revealing, and it's not going to be pretty, I have a feeling. So, but it is what it is, right? We got to do it. So, anyways, that is this week's show, guys. We will be back next Sunday because we will know what's happening with the CFP. We will be reacting to that. We'll know at that point if we're in. And what, how and why, or if we're not and we're going to the Rose Bowl, because that's what's going to happen is if we're either in the CFP or we're probably going to the Rose Bowl, in which we will, I think, probably end up playing either USC. But if USC loses, then that means we're in the CFP. And if USC wins, I think they're in. So that means it might end up being a rematch against Utah, possibly, or Washington, maybe. And I'll be honest, I don't want to play Washington. You guys watch them?
They're feisty, man.
Yeah, Pennington's thrown for more yards than any other quarterback in college football this year. And we saw what he did in the SHU a couple years ago with Indiana. And he's got a whole heck of a lot more talent with the Huskies.
It's the season. He could light us up like a Christmas tree.
Yeah, he could. So that's gonna be very interesting. So we'll be talking about that. Maybe we revisit some of these questions we didn't get to, but that's going to be next weekend's show. So we don't have a preview for you this week. We'll have some other things. Chris and I might be doing a Christmas special for you on our video or a sports movies podcast, Varsity Videos. Of course, I'll be doing cigar reviews for all of you. That'll be available too. We were going to be doing a Shots from the Shot podcast, but please keep the monk in your thoughts and prayers. He's in the hospital currently right now, and it wasn't because of the game yesterday, although that might have something to do with it. But he's not doing too well right now, so please remember him. So he's unable to record a Shots from the Shot episode with me because of that. But we will have plenty of content for you outside of this week. And, of course, we'll be back next week and to talk about our Buckeyes. Guys, and all things considered, isn't it amazing when you go 11-1, you're one of the best teams in college football, but yet at the end of the day, it's still empty, man.
It's tough.
It hurts.
I don't have words.
It hurts. Please go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/TheOhioPodcast. Read the article Perspective, Four Perspectives for Ohio State Fans. I've gotten a lot of really good feedback from that. It's gone all over the interwebs already. It's also available on our Facebook page, which you can visit, TheOhioPodcast.com. You'll see it on the right-hand side. There's a link for it. There you're also able to hear all of our podcasts, all of our shows, all of our content is right there. We're also on Twitter, so you can check that out. It's www.twitter.com/TheOhioPod, I think, twitter.com/TheOhioPod. That's where you can find us. You can always email us at TheOhioPodcast@gmail.com. Guys, got anything else? Keep your chin up, Buckeye fans. I know it's hard right now. I know we took it on the chin. I know we got to listen to all those people like Sean Chirp. Take it. Eat your crow. We got to. It's hey, part Eric, of being the fan. Yeah.
Have you started scouting for your tickets yet?
No.
Do you need me to order you a blue and gold jersey for next?
Well, No, I'm not wearing that. No, I didn't say I'd be wearing that gear.
I know, I tried, but
that's him wearing the gear if we won. That didn't happen. But Aaron, you and I, at least I know you and I, if you get back here to the States, Ohio, you and I will be, we're going to be making that trip with Sean up there as buddies. And you know that's not going to be easy for you and me, man.
No, it's not.
I'm really taking you as being my backup because I don't know what's going to happen, man. I need a buddy.
Battle buddy pairs.
Yeah. I know you can do more damage than me.
Well, at the very least, I can run faster if we got
it. Yes! Hey, come on, Eric! Oh, shoot. Oh,
let's hope it doesn't come to that, okay?
Yeah, I hope so. Here's the crazy thing. I saw two fights yesterday, but it was Buckeye on Buckeye crime, man.
What? That's,
oh, yeah. I'm telling you, man, I think one of the worst things they did was allow drinking in that stadium. I know a lot of you probably disagree with me, but I think it takes the fun out of it a lot because I don't understand how you could spend all that money to go to a game and not even remember it the next day. Although yesterday that there's an argument for not remembering what happened, I guess. But yeah, I don't get that, man. Especially as expensive as it is inside the stadium. My gosh. But I digress. That's just not my thing. Anywho, that's this week's show. We tried our best. I hope you enjoyed the content we brought you. And you probably really didn't enjoy it, but you know what I mean. We answered some of your questions. We have a lot to talk about moving forward. We always have a lot of you at the end of the year and during the Penn State game listen to us when you normally don't for the other games or during the offseason. Hang around in the offseason. We have a lot of good content, a lot of good topics. Plus, we're going to YouTube live on YouTube and Facebook come January. So not only do you get to hear our beautiful voices, but now you get to see Aaron's beautiful face.
Chuckle.
And Chris and me. Chris, I don't know if we would ever be considered beautiful.
All I got to say, Eric, is that's a whole lot of ugly on one screen.
Oh, man. I tell you.
We definitely have faces for radio.
This is true. This is true. Absolutely, man. So, hey, something to look forward to, guys. And this is why we do this, man. It's not just the good times, but sometimes we need each other in the bad times, too. And that's what we're here for. So Buckeye therapy, right? That's what it is, man. Hey, and Aaron, he's going to be legal to do that. He'll be able to give us some therapy. Yeah. Right?
Yes, sir.
There you go. So
hey, Eric.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see the question about the fan who wanted to know if we were going live tonight?
Yeah, I did.
What happened with that?
Well, that would have been bad. Also, be on the lookout for a post that's going to be made from Matthew Butcher, our buddy from Australia. He posted a lot of awesome videos of his stay when he was here in Ohio for the Toledo game. He posted a bunch of them. We're going to be sharing that on our page. We appreciate Matt and Grant, our buddies, our Aussie buddies. They were so fun. I so hope that he can come back again, and we can spend some more time with them. They were so much fun. And I tell you guys, it's on my bucket list. I got to go to Australia and hang out with these guys just one time in my life. I got to do that. I think it'd be a blast, man. That would be a lot of fun. So be on the lookout for that as well. Thanks again, everybody, for all of your support, and please continue to support us. We've got a lot of really awesome things coming down the pike. And we want you to be a part of that. As always, be kind to one another. I owe someone's OH and sing Carmen, Ohio with all your heart. And until next time, OH!
I owe!
Go Bucks!
Oh, come, let's sing Ohio's praise and songs through alma mater ring. While our hearts rebounding thrill and joy which death alone can still, summer's heat or winter's cold, the seasons pass, the years will roll. Time and change will surely show how firm thy friendship. Ohio.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.